Let's get talking with some early morning conversation.
What's happening, people? And once again, welcome back to Breakfast with Kovu here on the Big Bad Trickstar Radio. Once again, we are jumping into a new edition of the Interview Hour, our daily interview section, where we get into conversations with different artists and musical figures from around the UK and worldwide about what they're working on, of course, where they've come from, and what's on the way as well, which is very exciting. That's one of the main topics we're going to be diving into today. He's becoming a bit of a regular on the show, someone we've seen a fair few times over the last couple of years. It's always an absolute pleasure to get him on. Man like Enigma Dubs joins us. How are you doing, sir?
I'm great, man. Always good to be here with you, mate.
It's always good to get you on, man. I always look forward to it. We always end up having a good chat, and I always end up finding out more things about what you do, which is absolutely it's crazy considering the list is so high as it is. Obviously, last time you were on, we did have a big conversation about that in particular, about the sort of different avenues you were working down. Have those kind of changed at all?
No, I think I'm still very, very busy. Lots of things going on, lots of things in the works to keep everything rolling. Still Enigma Dubs, obviously with the new album. So everything's like really focused on Enigma Dubs projects at the moment. Itona is the side project. Still lots of material to come on that. Still doing a lot of co-writing and producing for other artists. Just got back from the States on a little tour. So yeah, it's all going on, man.
It's all going on, man. How was it being in the States, especially after all the sort of travel restrictions are slowly being lifted?
Yeah.
How was it as an experience for you?
It was dope, mate. And also, I actually went out last year at the end of last year, and that's the first time since the restrictions. So I went out 3 weeks at the end of last year. Whereas last week, I was just there for a little 1 week, 3-show tour to hype up the album. But it's been awesome, man. Like, it's obviously different out there to here. Different rules still going on there with masks, and each state's a different rule. So I'm always entering different buildings, like holding my mask, like, do I need this on? Do I not? Or what? So, yeah. But it's good, man.
Awesome. How was the response to the actual shows as well? It must be nice to kind of, with the album being in the works as well, which we'll get into later on, but obviously to kind of showcase the material, like, how was it being out there?
Oh, it was dope. The run I just finished last week was all just album. So literally every track on the album was in the set. And then it was just a real, because the album's multi-genre, it's like real journey sort of. I had two extended sets that were 2 hours, which were really cool to do. And then last year, it was like a mixture of new material, a few album tracks scattered, and just dub plates and stuff like that. So
amazing, man, amazing. Again, I've had a little listen through the album. We are going to dive into a bit of a breakdown of the track listing, obviously what we can expect from it, because this has been in the works for a long period of time. I remember speaking to you very briefly about it when you were last on, which was, as I said, over 8 months ago. But that's not the only thing you've been working on in that time period. Obviously, you've been busy with a couple of different releases. Do you want to talk us through what you've been kind of working on before the album dropped over, say, the last like 9 months or so? Because I keep seeing you pop up with different EPs and singles all over the place. It's difficult to keep up with.
Yeah, man, there's a lot going on. There's a lot happened last year, which was cool. I had a release on Duplock, an EP on Duplock, which was like the 50th release for Duplock, which was like an honor to be doing the 50th release.
One. That's a big one, man. That's a huge one.
Dude, yeah. Me and Peter go back to the start of Duplock. I think I was one of the first, if not the first, uploads on his channel. So he was like, we need to mark that milestone. So that was awesome to do that. Release on Deep, Dark and Dangerous was last year. I don't know if that was already out when I spoke to you.
I think it was on the cusps. I remember last time you were on, we were talking about that as an EP, but it hadn't actually dropped yet. I think you came on about a week before it came out.
So that was awesome as well. And that really helped ramp things up stateside as well, because I got such a good network in the States and worldwide really. So those two EPs were big last year. And then the album has been like, the album campaign has been massive. So last year, me and my manager were just working so hard getting that ready for the drop. So yeah, it was a busy year last year, man.
Definitely, man. It really, really was. Again, when it came to sort of Juno download stuff, like, I was always looking out for new Enigma releases. As soon as I saw them, I was like, yes, I knew this one was coming. He's on a roll, and it's really exciting.
Yeah.
See, just the consistency more than anything else. Like, I've really enjoyed kind of watching you from an artist perspective, looking for all the individual things you work on, but also the kind of constant changing of your sound. So have you found there's any sort of particular direction you've been leaning towards, or has it literally just been one day you're over there, one day you're over there, one day you're over there?
It really is so varied all the time. I think last year most of the releases were dubstep and 140 sort of influenced, because I knew the album was coming, and the album's literally all over the place in terms of style. So I think it was mainly that, and obviously over lockdown it's a bit different because everybody's mood was a bit different, and that was why I launched the side alias Itona, because there was a lot of emotions and stuff going on from lockdowns which lent themselves well to that new alias. But yeah, in terms of projects, man, like if you saw the unreleased Dropbox folder, you'd be like, okay, well, wow. So yeah,
that's always a fun one, man. Do you ever find yourself, because I've had this exact conversation with a lot of different people over the last few months, especially about that sort of mythical unreleased Dropbox folder, yeah, that everyone has one. It's just a thing. It's just a box of like complete tunes. You're not quite sure where to put them. How often do you find yourself looking through it?
Quite often, especially doing sets. And sometimes, if I'm being honest, because I'm so busy doing stuff behind the scenes for other artists as well, I sometimes go in my own Dropbox folder and I'm like, damn, I forgot that I made that on the last tour when I was in an airport or something like that. And yeah, I'm just like, that one needs to be finished. And yeah, there's a serious stack of them. So
awesome. It's always good to see that, man. It means there's always ammo in the tank as well. So, you know, there could always be something around the corner. The interesting thing about this is obviously when you're then moving into album mode, which is what we're going to dive into next, and you've already got that big sort of Dropbox ready to go. A question I always ask with people building new projects was this project entirely built kind of without dipping into that? Or did you find yourself kind of going back to previous projects that you'd previously unreleased? Or is this an entirely new block of content?
There are, I'd say, two tracks on the album which were in the vault as tracks that I wanted to put out and wait for the right time. And I knew both of those tracks, I wanted them to be on big projects. And then the rest of them were all new. And I've got to say, I think I stacked up about 20 to 25 tracks. And then me and my manager were like, right, we need to work out what's going on this album. And then the rest of them are going to sit there for probably a future album as well.
Amazing. So like when you're building a track list for a project like this, because obviously we've spoken about EPs before, we've spoken about kind of singles and remixes, and obviously doing sort of side work for other artists, as you mentioned before. But when you're building an album project, did the creative process of both selection and track listing and actually the general creation of the songs themselves, did that change at all for you, knowing that this was all revolving around the bigger album project?
It did, in the sense that I really wanted the album to touch on every single aspect of Enigma Dub. So I wanted there to be down tempo. I wanted there to be Future Garage, obviously 140 BPM dubstep, bass heavy stuff, and then D&B as well. So I was just like, everything that I've touched on in the past, I want to make sure it's all there, but representing where I am now. So it's like, this is what I'm feeling now. This is what I'm feeling about myself. And moving forward, this is what I want to go into like this. So, yeah.
Awesome. Yeah, no, I had a quick listen through. I've listened through a couple of times the project, which I was very fortunate to be sent over. So I've got a little SoundCloud link, which I've had a little listen through. And I'm sure everyone locked in is very jealous of me right now. But I've got to say, listening through it, the overall project felt very cohesive, despite the fact that you are working in a lot of different avenues, a lot of different sonic spheres, to coin a very, very upper-class way of saying it. But it definitely feels like that there is a kind of linking factor about everything. Again, when you're kind of putting the project together, knowing that you're going to all of these different directions, is that an intentional thing, or would you say that's just something that ends up happening because it's you producing it?
I think the latter does happen because I'm producing it, and it's hard for me because as a producer, I hear some people say, like, I knew that was an Enigma Dubs track, I just knew it, and I don't know why, but they do, and that's awesome, and I love that. But then at the same time, when we did the track list for the album, we did really want to choose tracks which had a flow. But it's just like a twist and a turn, if you know what I mean. There's at one point on the album where I go from like I think it's 144, the BPM. It's the hardest like dubstep track on the album. And then it goes into the most chill Future Garage track afterwards, because I wanted it to be like a total like...
Almost like a knee-jerk twist, getting thrown left entirely.
Exactly. I wanted that on there, so yeah.
Awesome, man. Awesome. Like, I mean, just kind of going back to obviously playing a lot of the tunes out from the album, were there any that kind of surprised you in regards to the reaction they got when you... Because obviously you were playing like most of the tracks off the album at the shows. Like, were there any that kind of stood out for you as moments when you played them for the first time?
Yeah, I think the biggest surprise was when I first played Out of My Mind Out, because that's the drum and bass track. Okay. And I don't normally play drum and bass in my sets. I never usually get there. Whereas I think when I first played it in Denver last year, it went off almost the biggest of the whole set. And I was just like, whoa. And it's one of, if not my favourite track on the album as well. So that was just amazing to get that. Whereas there's quite a few of the tracks are very just vibey and listening tracks. They're not necessarily produced for systems. So when I did the 2 hour set in Baltimore and Denver, I'd say the first hour of my set was from ranging between 100 BPM, slowly ramping up to 140. And then the second hour was all 140 stuff. And I don't normally get a chance to do that, to be honest. And this last tour has made me just want to do that more often. It's made me just want to take on 90 minutes to 2 hour sets and really showcase more often. So it's a really cool thing to do
because I suppose from the average sort of DJ perspective, what you're going to play an hour, you want to fit as much as you can into that hour. But as soon as you kind of, especially if you've primarily been playing hours, if you then move that up to 90 minutes, you're suddenly like, I've played everything that I wanted to play, and now I've got half an hour to play with. Like, did you find that kind of going through your head when you were playing the shows?
You know what it is? I find with an hour, I don't get to experiment enough at all. And the difficult thing is, I've got the inner beast inside me. Whenever I get to an event, if there's a big sound system, I just want to play the bassy, nasty tunes because I really feel it on the system. Whereas there's a lot of people coming out to my shows which are there because they've been fans of the garage and the chill stuff. And when I've just got 1 hour to try and go everywhere in an hour, I always feel it's really disjointed and it doesn't represent really a nice set, if you know what I mean. So when it's a 2 hour set, I really get to go through it. The bass heads are happy, the chill heads are happy, I'm happy. And then it's just I think, it's much better for me, that is.
An overall experience as well, man. It's really cool. It's definitely something I'd love to see, especially having listened through this album in particular. Just hearing the kind of breadth of direction you go in sonically is genuinely very enjoyable. I can imagine, especially listening to that for people who haven't heard the album before, it being almost mind-blowing, the kind of directions you end up going in. I mean, I do kind of want to move forward onto one of the specific reasons we've got you on today, because obviously we want to talk about the album. We want to talk about one of the lead singles off the project, which is of course Up in the Safe alongside SO. Why did you pick this as one of the lead tracks, considering how wide the sort of genre range is?
I think firstly we wanted to go in with a bit of a bang and a bit of a punch with it, and the vocal's so sick on this track. When I actually made the instrumental, it was shortly after a set thing. And I've recently just signed to a publisher. I got a publishing deal at the start of 2020, which we spoke about before.
We did, yes.
And SO was one of the vocalists who were published by BlackRock Centric Music. And as soon as I made that instrumental, I was just right, this has got to go to SO because he's just such a sick vocalist. And having that sort of US sound on top of it, and with his history of being all over the place, growing up in Africa, living in the UK for a period of time, then he's in America, it just brought so much to the track. So both me and my manager were like, right, let's start off with a punch in at 140 BPM. A lot of people know me for dubstep. Get people hyped and then take people on a detour with the next one, if you know what I mean.
That makes a lot of sense, man. It really does. Yeah. Again, this is a tune that the first time I heard it, I was very impressed by it. Definitely the thing I did actually want to touch on was that kind of essentially utilizing the Atlantic, or is it the Pacific? It's the Atlantic, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
It's the Atlantic, I think so.
That's I hope so. I hope we're both right here.
Yeah, this is going to look awful for my geography knowledge if I'm wrong. But that must be a really cool thing, especially then going on the tour. How did that tune go down when you were out there?
Yeah, honestly, that track gets a wicked response. I don't know whether people connect with it better in the States because they hear the accent as well.
Yeah.
But I don't know, man. It's just that track. It's one of just I can listen to anywhere. Rather than it just being I just want to be on a system for this track, because he's got so much character about his vocals.
Definitely.
Because the beat itself is just cold as ice. I mean, when I made the track, I was like, it needs a vocal, this does, because it's very light. If it didn't have the vocal, it would still be hard hitting, but it just had that layer on top that I wanted the energy to be there. So yeah,
it's almost like the tick of finesse to an extent, just to kind of
get
extra oomph to get it over the
hell
line.
Yes, that's it, mate.
There we go. I think something that's kind of I've wanted to ask about this tune in particular is obviously when we kind of see tracks get released, we tend to see a bit of the live reaction when you're playing out, and obviously that's something you've experienced live. How have you found it in a much more sort of streaming and I suppose online response to this one, because this one's been out for a few weeks now. How have you found it?
Yeah, with Up in the Safe, it's gone down. It's just kind of snowballed, really. And it's also helps with the pre-orders, because we've got the pre-orders alive now to pre-order the vinyl and the merchandise packages, and all the heads have been swayed by that track. And then the other singles that have come out have then tapped into the D&B side of things, the more euphoric side of things. So yeah, it's really helped. It's been great, man.
Awesome, man. I mean, that's the perfect response you want from a track kind of leading up to an album. So exactly, yes, man. Really, really cool. So obviously the album drops on the 25th. I asked you just before we went live on this interview to think up a word that you could use to describe the album. Have we got anywhere near coming up with a word yet? Because obviously this could be quite literally anything.
You know what? The one word which comes to mind, and it's just a really big word, but it's expansive, because it's like there's so many different sounds on it. And the one thing that I don't know if other people have like tapped into it before, like I've got this real passion for like sci-fi soundtracks and like the work of Hans Zimmer and people like that, where it's quite epic but not too noisy, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, of course.
And that's just the vibe I get, and it takes you on all sorts of journeys. So I'd say expansive, man.
Expansive, great word. Fantastic word. Probably my favourite word I've actually had when I've asked people this question to
me. Oh, hell yeah.
You're in the money.
I was trying to get thinking hard, man.
you mentioned a couple of other bits, obviously, surrounding the album landing. I wanted to ask what's next, but let's first dive into what's kind of surrounding the album. Obviously, you've mentioned kind of merch lines, and you mentioned sort of vinyl packaging. Like, what's the full extent of what's coming with this album?
So the album's obviously on the 25th. On the 26th, it's the launch night for the album. It's in Birmingham, UK, so it's a hometown thing, in collaboration with Deep Tempo lads, out to Cutter, out to Sebo.
Fantastic guys, I got to say. They're wicked at what they do.
They're a class act, mate. They're wicked. And then we've got Distance and N-Type on the lineup as well, with a handful of other people on the lineup. It's going to be sick. With the firmly rooted sound system. So Birmingham's going to get shaken up big time. So that's on the 26th. Merchandise, t-shirts, the signed vinyls. I'm hoping there's a few left when this goes out. There wasn't many left. There aren't many left today anyway. And we're heading down to the distributor this week actually to go and check it all out and sign a load of copies and stuff like that. So that'll be dope. And so yeah, that's the big thing. Is obviously it's out next week. Oh, well, amazing. When this buzz on this comes out, yeah. 25th, man, it's out.
I mean, obviously, kind of looking at that then, what part of this launching are you most excited about? Because I feel like this is, I know this isn't your first sort of bigger project, but it feels like this is quite like, I don't know, it feels like a bit of a moment for yourself in regards to where you are musically, where you are sort of just career-wise as well. This feels like it's a bit of a moment for you. What's the bit you're most looking forward to about the album actually landing?
This is by far the biggest project I've done so far, because in the past I've done albums, but they've just been very organic. I've been a one-man band doing it, and it's just like, do the music, get it out there. And then people who are listening, I'm just loving the fact people are enjoying it. Whereas this time, me and my manager have spent a year like lining it all up, getting the merchandise, getting all the social side, getting the artwork nailed. Out to Emily Dayson, who did the artwork. She does really cool art for Infernal Sounds. So when I hit her up saying like, is there any chance I can work with you, and she was buzzing as well, I was just like, this is really working. And then we got the assets done as well by another guy out to Bonsai, who does all the visual assets and puts them together, the graphics design. So if I'm being honest, man, like I've almost just been waiting in anticipation for this for months. So I'm really excited for the launch night, but I think the actual day of launch, I just can't wait for people to hear the whole thing, because there's a lot of tracks on there which we didn't pick for singles that I still love. So I think I'm excited for those little hidden gems for people to find them. So yeah.
Definitely, man, definitely. I mean, it's going to be very exciting. I'm going to keep my ear to the pulse. I'm sure you're going to be hearing a few tracks off the project on Trickstar on repetition, shall we say, throughout the week on some playlist thing. It has to be done. Yeah. Having listened through it myself, it's a genuinely very enjoyable journey to kind of go from the start to the finish. I definitely recommend, if you are going to grab the album, to listen through it on a long play at least once, just so you can take it in as a full experience, rather than just kind of dipping through singles, which I know we're all guilty of. We'll listen through and see if there's any bit we immediately like. But this is one I would recommend sitting with. So final question, what comes next? Because obviously this has been engulfing your life for what sounds like the best part of a year, with everything kind of coming together. Have you even thought about what comes after this, or are you pretty much just wait, have you already got like the next path laid out?
Well, we've got, as I said before, we've got that much stuff in the Dropbox folder. We've got at least another album's worth of tracks. Initially, it was going to be a back-to-back album. We're going to give a bit of breathing space, I think. We're going to leave it for the rest of the year. Let the album be the main part of the year. Following the album, I've got another EP's worth of tracks lined up on another label, which hasn't been announced yet, so I'm going to hold fire on that. There's also going to be a VIP of one of my original OG tracks as like a 10-year anniversary. So that's coming. I've got another run of shows in June in the States. I've got another run in September, and also, which will just be announced, but it's been announced tomorrow, is I'm playing at Rampage as well, and I've never played Rampage.
Amazing.
So that's going to be sick as well.
Congratulations, man. That's one of the
ones.
Hell
yeah.
Like, say you work in certain industries, you've got sort of, I don't know, like Glassdoor to tick off or Wireless to tick off. I feel like in underground electronic music, Rampage is one of the ones that you aspire to reach, realistically.
Absolutely, man. It's like a Duplock showcase, so that's going to be, I really can't wait for that, man.
Amazing, man. Well, thank you for joining us. Obviously, I can imagine it's very busy at your end right now, like ticking the final boxes, crossing the T's, dotting the I's. I'm glad I got that one right. I always get that one the wrong way around. But I've got to say, dude, it's been an absolute pleasure having you on. Thank you for taking the time out of your day, and I want to wish you the best of luck with everything album-wise. It looks like it's going to be amazing, and thanks for joining us.
Always a pleasure, man. Thank you for having me. 25th of March, go and check the album. Hell yeah.
Definitely. Make sure you go and do that, guys. We're going to jump into that lead single with SO next here on The Breakfast Show. And then following that, we're going to get into the sounds of the Dub Shack. So keep it locked and don't go anywhere. We've been live with Enigma Dubs today. This has been the interview hour here on Breakfast with Koivu. Keep it locked and we'll catch you next time.
Brand new here on Trickstar.